you're able and willing, we invite you to stand with us as we seek his name and seek his face together. Let's pray together. Our sovereign Lord, this night we rejoice that we have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and that we join that general assembly of the church of the firstborn this night, calling upon your name, joining and singing the praises of our great God of heaven, joining that assembly of the just men made perfect whose names are written in heaven. O Lord, we would rejoice this night that we are yours and that you have made us ours and that you have sealed your promise with the king's ring and that the message has gone forth swiftly into every place, that you have sent forth the word of the gospel. You have caused your truth to shine forth from the rising of the sun to its setting, calling souls to yourself. Lord, we would rejoice this night in the fullness, in the completion, in the richness, in the beauty of the gospel promise. Oh Lord, how we rejoice this night in the cross of Christ, in the death of Jesus, in the resurrection of our King, in the ascension of the only mediator between God and men. And Lord Jesus, we make our appeal to you this night, the only King and head of the church, seated upon the throne. We would make our appeal to you and ask, Lord, that you would be gracious. Oh Lord, as we draw near to you, we confess our own sin and rebellion. Lord, we confess that we have not remembered the greatness of the Lord, that we have not remembered your promise, that we have not remembered your mighty deeds. Lord, we confess to you that we have called down the wrath and the curse of God. Lord, that we have rebelled against your law, that we have transgressed your statutes, that we have resisted your holy will. We ask that you would be merciful this night. Oh, that you would be gracious. Enter not into judgment with your servants. For, Lord, we confess no one living can stand before you. Lord, we confess to you that you are holy and that we are vile and rebellious. And we ask, Lord, that in wrath you'd remember mercy. And so we would bow with the deepest devotion and submission to you this night. And Lord, we would plead the promises of the gospel. And Lord, we would rejoice in the beauty and the power of that gospel. We ask, Lord, that you would not only pardon our guilt, Lord, that you would not only forgive us our sin, but Lord, would you do the work of purifying our souls? Lord, would you do this sanctifying, purifying work? Would you chisel our hearts, our affections, our minds after the image of God? We pray, Lord, not only that sin would be pardoned, we pray that it would be put to death. We pray, Lord, that the sword of the Spirit would pierce our thoughts, that it would pierce our affections, that it would shape and move our feet. We pray, Lord God of heaven, that you would look with favor upon your church, Lord, that you would make her holy even as you are holy. We ask that you would preserve your church, that you'd preserve her power, that you preserve her witness, that you preserve her testimony. We pray that she might stand fast and hold to the pattern of sound words which you have revealed. We pray that she would stand and hold to the words of Christ. Lord, out of zeal and love for her King, Lord, let your church be strengthened in her stand. Do good unto Zion in your good pleasure. Build the walls of your church. And Lord, we pray that as she speaks, that she would give forth a full and clear testimony to the glory of God in Christ. Lord, we pray that you would preserve your church, that you would preserve this land from a famine of the word. Lord, let us never know what it is to have a famine of the word, going to and fro, searching high and low for the word of the Lord. Lord, preserve the preached gospel in this land. And Lord, we pray that you would restore your church, that you would raise the ruins, that you would shore up her foundations. We ask that you would look with favor, that your spirit might be poured out upon her. Lord, that you would clothe the preachers of your word with the anointing from on high. Lord, that when they preach, it would be done not in word only, that it would be done, that it would be proclaimed and declared in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Lord, let your word of promise go forth swiftly. Let the King's message speed ahead, have free course, and be honored and glorified. Lord, cause the knowledge of your Son to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. We pray that you would anoint the officers of your church, the elders and the deacons. Would you strengthen the works of their hands? Would you enable them to do their work, not unto themselves, but unto the Lord who has called and appointed them? We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would cause the worship of your church to be strong and pure. O Lord, that she would serve you, not according to her own imaginations, but according to the commandments of God. And Lord, that when she sings, oh, that she would sing with vigor, with love, with devotion. Lord, that when your word is read, it would be received with faith. Let your word be received with meekness and humility. We pray, Lord, that when your people gather to pray, Lord, that the petitions that ascend before your throne would be the petitions of Christ. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work deep and longing desires in your church. Lord, that you would place the very petitions of our great high priest upon the lips of your people. Lord, so that when we pray according to the will of God. We pray, Lord of heaven, would you glorify yourself? Would you glorify the Son? O Spirit of the living God, would you glorify Christ? Would you bring much honor and fame to the name of Jesus? Lord, as your word goes forth in this place, we ask that our ears might be open. We pray that you would give us knees that are bent to your will, and that you would train us in the holy art of waiting upon the Lord. We stretch forth our hands unto you, and our souls thirst for you as a thirsty land. And we ask that you would train us, that you would train us to be weighted and yielding and still before the majesty of God. Lord, here we are. We ask that you would do with us as seems best to you. We are a people of unclean lips, dwelling amongst a people of unclean lips. And Lord, we pray that our mouths might be touched by that live coal from the altar, and that you would take away our sin, that you purify our souls, and that you would send us out. Glorify your Son in this hour, and all this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our text tonight will come from the Old Testament, from Psalm 143. From Psalm 143, it's on page 664 in your pew Bibles. Psalm 143, and what we're doing here for a few weeks, we are considering together what it is to wait upon the Lord. What it is to have this posture of waiting, of being yielded, of being still before Him. Waiting upon the Lord is a position. It is a vision. It is something that goes far beyond simply waiting in line at the grocery store or in the doctor's lobby. To wait upon the Lord is a vision. And in that vision, you look up. You look up with reverence to His majesty, to His glory. You look up with the eyes of a servant. You look up to His hand, awaiting His provision, His direction. To wait upon the Lord is not simply to wait around for circumstances to change, whatever the circumstance may be. Some of you have been pleading long, praying particular petitions, pouring out your soul before the Lord, asking that He would hear just this one thing. And I want you to hear that waiting upon the Lord does not mean that you are simply waiting for Him to change or to answer this one thing. And to wait upon the Lord means that you look up with reverence to His hand, trusting that He will be who He says He is. It's not waiting for circumstances, but for Him. And you do so for as long as it takes, until He has mercy. So part of waiting on the Lord is you look up. And tonight what I want you to hear is that to wait upon the Lord not only means that you look up, it means that you look back. So Psalm 143, beginning with verse 1, a psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me in your righteousness, and enter not into judgment with your servant. For no one living is righteous before you. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. And therefore my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love. For in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies. And you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul. For I am your servant. And well, so this is the Psalm of David when he was in some sort of deep distress. And as it is a Psalm of David in deep distress, it also points us ahead to the agony of David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he himself was in deep distress. The Psalms of David would be sung and read and prayed by the Lord Jesus himself. And so Jesus himself could utter these words from Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my pleas for mercy. As he is pleading, as he is praying on the ground, sweating drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, he is crying out in agony, not my will, but yours be done. Now, this is the psalm of a servant in deepest pain of soul. He says in verse 4, my spirit faints within me. He's grown faint-hearted. My heart within me is appalled. And what does he do? What does the psalmist do when his heart is overwhelmed? And what does he do when he grows faint-hearted? What is it that he does? He's looking up. He's looking up to the heavens as the eyes of a servant look to the hand of his master. So his eyes look unto the Lord, but look at what else he does. He's looking up, but then he also, you notice verse 5, he casts the backward glance. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. What does he do? He not only looks up, he looks back. David will say in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon the rock and established my goings. He made my steps secure. David says, after waiting, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall put their trust in the Lord. What had David done? He had looked back. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined and heard my cry. What is he doing here? I remember the days of old. In other words, he turns to memory. There is a war on memory in our own culture. We could list story after story, episode after episode, one anecdote after another, culturally, where memory is being wiped and then rewritten to suit the spirit of the age. That's a whole issue of itself. There is a war on memory. But there is also a war on memory in our own souls. There is a war where there are times that we prefer not to look back. And what you see in this psalm is that what David does under deepest distress of soul is he remembers. Memory can be an agitator. There are some things remembered that can bring pain to mind. but it is not always that way. Memory can also be your exhorter, your mentor, your discipler, your encourager. Memory. And when he remembers, what does he bring to mind? You look at verse 5. I remember the days of old. And in the midst of a culture where there is a war on memory, how sweet this is. We cast the backward glance and we remember. There are days of old that are worth remembering. What is it to wait upon the Lord? What is it to be waiting and yielded and still before him? It is to remember what he has done. Because if you are to trust, if you're going to trust his leading in days to come, then you must be convinced that he has led without error in days of old. If you are to trust that he will guide your steps, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. If you are to trust that he will lead you with precision and with goodness and with kindness and with grace, then you must be persuaded that he has led in the days of old with sweetness and with sovereignty and with goodness. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. To meditate does not mean that you empty your mind. It means that you fill your mind with good things. You meditate on what he has done, the deliverances of God. His strong, mighty hand has been stretched out. And therefore you stretch your own hands unto him. My soul thirsts for you. I stretch forth my hands unto you. You remember the days of old. You meditate on all that he's done and you ponder. You notice the different language that's being used here? I remember, I meditate, I ponder. And when you remember and you meditate and you ponder the deeds of the Lord, you are remembering, first of all, his sovereignty. You are remembering his sovereign right to rule. You're remembering that he has a sovereignty over all his creatures, all their actions. What is David remembering here? In his deepest pain of spirit, he is remembering that his God is the Lord of history. His God is the God of providence. His God is the one who has declared the end from the beginning. His God has rule over the creatures. And so the way David will respond during Absalom's rebellion, his son's rebellion against him, and his son initiates a coup, and David is cast out of Jerusalem. And those who are cast out, they even bring the ark out to David. They bring the ark of the covenant out to David and say, we'll hang on to the ark. We'll keep the ark. We'll carry it wherever you go. And David responds, no, you carry the ark back to Jerusalem. If it is the Lord's will to bring me back, then he will do so. But if it is not his will to bring me back to Jerusalem, then here I am. Let him do with me as seems best to him. You know, you read 2 Samuel 15 tonight, and you'll read those words. Let him do what seems good to him. You know, David had a heart that yearned for God. He remembered the deeds of the Lord, and he trusted that his God had a right to rule over all his creatures. And what you need to hear tonight is that that sovereignty is now wielded in the hands of his Son. All authority has been given unto Christ, all power in earth and heaven. He's head over all things. to his church. And you need to understand tonight, as you remember his sovereignty, you remember that all the events of history, not only the days of old, but the days this past week, you need to remember that the days are entrusted to a brother's hand. And that this elder brother is a savior, not a destroyer. You need to remember tonight that this Jesus, full of truth, full of holiness, full of righteousness, you need to trust that he is also full of grace and full of mercy. And as you remember the deeds of the Lord, you remember that his power is wielded by a hand of love, that his power obeys the promptings of an infinite love for his people. Oh, you need to hear this night that the hands of providence, that providence belongs to Christ. I remember the deeds of the Lord. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. What are you saying? You're directing this prayer and petition unto Christ, that the one who was slain on the cross, that he is the one. He is the one who wields this scepter. He is the one who arranges, that he is a savior and not a destroyer. That yes, there is a sovereignty where nothing happens unless Christ wills it to happen. And in the way that it happens, and you cast the backward glance and you trust that all of those events, all of those days of old, they revealed a fatherly care. And that he is most worthy of your complete trust. Now you remember his sovereignty. Deep, long devotion, focused thought, intense meditation on the dominion of God, the dominion of Christ, the sovereignty of the Lord. You meditate on his majesty long enough, and it calms and it softens your soul. Psalm 131, David says, I have calmed and quieted my soul. Now, what is it to wait upon the Lord? It is to be calm and quieted. Kids, we just made a word. To be quieted before him. And what brings you to that sweet position? It is meditation on the sovereignty, the majesty, the rule of Christ. Providence is wielded by the hands of an elder brother who can be trusted. The second thing I want you to hear, as you remember the days of old, as you stretch forth your hands unto him, you're not only remembering his sovereignty, you're also remembering his wisdom. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you've done. I ponder the work of your hands. You are remembering and trusting that he is, the way Job puts it in Job chapter 9, wise in heart and mighty in strength. The way the prophet Isaiah puts it in Isaiah 40, that you wait upon the Lord, that he is rich in understanding. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the Lord, the everlasting God, is the creator of the ends of the earth? There is no end of his understanding, that he is a God of infinite wisdom. And what that means for you and for the days of old and for the days to come, why is it that you can be calmed into a position of waiting upon the Lord? Well, because you can remember and you can trust His perfect wisdom. And in His wisdom, He sees all. He sees all that there is to see. He sees all events. He sees all causes. Everything that leads to a particular event. You remember the days of old, and each one of those particular deeds had causes and effects. And the Lord, in His wisdom, in His all-knowing, all-searching eye, that He was able to behold it all. And every single decision and event that is to come, He is able to scan the whole horizon. He is able to see the causes, the effects, the ripples, how each particular movement or decision or step taken, how it would impact others, how it would impact your own soul. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. You are remembering the wisdom of the Lord, that He knows circumstances better than we do, that He has the view which we do not possess. As we were saying last Lord's Day evening, that He can see around the corners, that He can gaze through the fog, that His light can penetrate darkness. You need to trust that He sees it all, and He will arrange all of your days for His glory, that His attributes, that His love, that His mercy, that His goodness, that His justice, that His glory, that all of these attributes, what is it for Him to glorify Himself? It is for Him to make known His mighty attributes, His character. What do we learn from His deeds? What do you learn from His preservation of the Jews in the book of Esther? You learn of His faithfulness. You learn of His kindness. You learn of His goodness. Y'all, what is it to wait upon the Lord? It is to be calmed. It is to be yielded. It is to have a complete trust that He will arrange all of your days. Just as He has governed the past, even so He will govern the future. That He will arrange every possible step for His glory and for your chief end. Kids, what is the chief end of man? What are you here for? Is it not to bring Him glory? Is it not to enjoy Him? Do you trust that He will arrange all of your days in such a way that your chief end will be fulfilled? Do you trust that He will guide particular decisions, that He will arrange coming days and years and decades so that you live in pursuit of your chief end? You simply don't know. You don't know what would be best. What would be the best way for you to bring honor to His mercy, His truth, His justice? What would be the best way for your sinful corruptions to be mortified? What would be the best way for you to be trained in perseverance and endurance and honor and integrity? What would be the best way for you to be shaped and molded after the image of Christ? Do you trust that in coming days, that in His wisdom, that He would shape and that He would arrange all of your actions, all decisions? Can you refer each of them to His will? As you scan back, as you take the backward glance, you look back and you see that all that was arranged, all that came to pass, happened under His fatherly hand. And it could not have been otherwise. If things had played out in any other way, it would have diminished His glory. And so you remember the days of old, and you trust that in coming days, you can trust Him to arrange it all for His glory and honor. Now you can trust, verse 8, He will answer this prayer. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. There is your question. Do you trust? Do you trust that He will make you to hear in the morning of His steadfast love? Do you trust that in verse 8, He will make you to know the way you should go? In every case, in every decision, in every season of life, every possible season of your life, you are looking to the Lord. You are looking unto His goodness, His majesty, His glory. I lift up my soul unto you. Where is He looking? We're right back to lifting your gaze. You look up to the Lord. What is it to wait upon Him? It is to look up. You look at verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Do you trust that He will lead you to the level ground of Emmanuel's land? And that having passed through this earthly pilgrimage and warfare, can you trust His providence to arrange your life for the highest possible glorification of His name? Would you lay yourself out before this Christ? Would you plead with Him, oh Lord, would you arrange every decision, every act, every season for nothing more than the highest possible glorification of your name, that your holiness, that your mercy, that your grace, that your love, that your truth, they would all be lifted up, they would all be publicly displayed, and that they would be passed on. And oh God, that when I declare of your greatness, I declare of the deeds that you have done, come near and I will tell what He has done for my soul, the psalmist says. Can you trust Him by taking the backward glance? Kids, you remember the story of David and Goliath. And you remember that David, what had David killed before facing Goliath? He had faced down the lion and the bear. And what does David say to Saul when Saul says to him, you are but a youth and Goliath is skilled in the art of war and you cannot take him on? What does David say? The God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear shall deliver me from this Philistine. The battle is the Lord's, David says. And David sets aside the unproven soldier's armor and he takes up the 5 smooth stones. And he doesn't back his way into this battle. No, he runs to the front. He runs to where Goliath is. And he stares down and he taunts the Philistine Goliath for having mocked the God of Israel, promising that he would feed his flesh to the birds of the air. David was a man who looked back. And that backward glance was anything but crippling. Now, that backward glance did not paralyze. That backward glance is what fueled his zeal and stirred him to take up the stones and sling them with precision. And then to take the very sword of Goliath and sever the head from the Philistine. You don't know what your days will hold in coming weeks, months, years, and decades. But what you do know is that the hand of providence, that the wheels of providence, the wheels of history, they are entrusted to a brother's hand who is a savior and not a destroyer, who with perfect infinite wisdom is able to arrange all of your days so that you pursue and fulfill your chief end. And the question for you tonight is, will you trust? Can you pray? Verse 8, let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust, and make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Would you pray with me? Our gracious Lord, we would bow before you now with the deepest submission. And Lord, we would bow with a complete trust that yours is a hand of mercy and love, that yours is a hand that redeems and does not destroy your people, and that you will cause all things to work together for good for those who love you and who are called according to your purpose. And so, Lord, this night as we look up to your sovereign hand, we also look back and we would remember that yours is a hand of grace. In Jesus' name, amen.